Welcome back to Stories from the Internet. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. If you're a newcomer, please let me know what you think on our Facebook page and all that jazz, or leave a comment or write on your favorite platform. This week we have Petty Revenge. We'll see what's going on, and hopefully you'll get some ideas of your own. But let's move on, shall we? Older brother called me dumb. We're in the same class now. By Llama Lunatic. When I, 14 female, was younger and my older brother told me that I was stupid and dumb because I was a grade lower than him. He's 13 months older and just told me he was smarter. Just the average thing a sibling can say to annoy another sibling. And it annoyed me so much to the point where I spent an entire year studying and getting good grades. Eventually, at the end of the school year, I was told my grades were amazing and that I would be moved up. So, the first day of school, we're in the same class, and I walked up to him and went, "Who's dumb now, a-hole?" And he just laughed and high-fived me. Now he gets annoyed when I bring him up. And I'm so proud of myself now. I'm in year 11 and the youngest one in my year. And we're graduating at the same time whether he likes it or not. I will never regret being this petty. Don't yell at employees, then litter. By Dirty Pig 796. My husband and I were at Starbucks, our usual Starbucks, getting our usual. It was busy and at brunch time, so we waited a bit. No problem. This wild Karen appears, claiming that there's too many people in the store, and she wants her food now. This Starbucks also has a drive-thru. She's screaming at some teenagers about how they aren't in compliance, and she's going to call the city about it. I screamed at her, "You could always go through the drive-thru," but she didn't hear me. We left the store and ate in the car. 30 seconds later, Karen gets in her SUV, starts to take her gloves off, and throw them on the ground in the parking lot. I see this and think, absolutely not. I got out of the car, picked up the gloves, and then put them under her wiper blade as she's trying to back out. Take your shit with you, Karen. Snow Parking / Blocking by Mama Legend. I live in a 4-unit standalone apartment building, not part of a complex. Each unit has a large detached garage, and our parking lot is decent sized. However, it's a big college town with plenty of weekend parties. Did I mention it's also in a wintry, windy state, too? Anyway, I'm the only tenant who actually uses the garage for their vehicle, and not storage. Work mostly weekdays, but not always. Come out one morning to my garage blocked by an unknown SUV. Irritated, but pounded the party door, easily identified to everyone who lived there, and they wouldn't answer. I knew they were there, and I'd already heard him. I kept pounding while calling my boss to let them know I'd be late and why. Wasn't petty, but finally got out to go to work. Happened 2 days later, and I was over it. Called my buddy for a ride to work, and while waiting, pulled out my trusty shovel and buried the guy up to his fender and bumper. Ice storm predicted the next day, no less. Still was there when I got home the next 3 days off. Be part of the solution, not the pollution, by Knox F. Young. This is a quick little story about how I got petty revenge on a lady who littered in my gym's parking lot. I get into my car and the lady is parked in front of me, put a McDonald's bag on the ground and starts filling it with trash. I figure they're cleaning out their car, but stick around to watch what she'll do with this bag of trash. There's a garbage can less than 100 feet away. Well, she fills the bag up, then puts a McDonald's cup with lid half on alongside the bag. She closes her door. I hurry and run over to her car as it starts up. I ask her if she's gonna pick up the litter. She just rolls up her window and drives away. Cue the petty revenge. I pick up the McDonald's cup and throw it at her car. It was full of tobacco spit and cigarette butts that landed all over her windshield. She put on the brakes and then continued to drive away. I picked up the cup and bag of trash and threw it away. I would have made her do it if she would have stopped, though. Stupid Games, Win Stupid Prizes by The Gamer Who Kills NPC. Well, to start off, I'm Indian. This morning I got a message on Facebook from a guy from the US. No hi, hello, or anything. He just straight up asked me to send Bob and Vagina. I ignored him. For anyone confused about Bob and Vagina, comes from a viral screenshot of an Indian man asking a white woman for nudes. It's now a stereotype of Indian men on the internet. He did this 4 to 5 times, and I asked him why he was doing it. He repeated, Bob and Vagina. When I didn't reply, he said, dumb mother effer, can't you read? I was understandably mad. I thought, fine, you want Bob and Vagina? He'll get it. I searched the internet for the hottest nude I could find. Then I got a photo of his mom from Facebook photos and one of my friends to Photoshop her head on the nude. Then I sent him the photo with the caption, here's your Bob and Vagina, enjoy. I also took a screenshot of our conversation prior to the photo, by the way, and sent it to his mom, friends, and etc. Then I got a message from him saying how everyone is calling him to reprimand him and how I'm the a-hole. By the way, I'm a guy. Want to Yeet past me over a double line. Enjoy your ticket. Bye. Is it Corona time? The community I live in has a speed limit of 25 miles an hour. It also has a connecting street to another development which leads to a main road, so people tend to cut through my neighborhood to get there. Many drivers enjoy speeding through the streets rather than following the speed limit. The local police department therefore started implementing a surprise speed trap right by the main entrance. I have never been stopped once, as I like to drive safely and not get tickets that I can't afford. But I oftentimes end up in front of drivers who like to drive recklessly and get angry when those are in front of them don't do the same. The story begins when my car's cruise control button finally got fixed. I had long been waiting for this because then I could enact Operation Petty Revenge. There's a gentleman who regularly cuts through my neighborhood who owns a Dodge Challenger. For those of you who don't know, Challengers can get loud. Consequently, this fellow also enjoys revving his engine every 100 yards or so to inform everyone nearby that this Dodge Challenger and its driver is likely less than average size endowment. This morning, I found myself pulling out of my driveway right as the Challenger turned the corner to approach, and you bet your butt I booped the cruise control button and meandered at a comfortably 25 mile an hour the entire ride through my neighborhood. The driver behind me was pissed, revving the engine, riding my bumper, the works. I was loving it. The piece de resistance was when we turned the street right before the main entrance. Sure enough, the police car was right there. Now, normally, the police car there without an officer inside just to spook the drivers into slowing down, but today, the universe was on my side. In his haste to pass me and continue upon his merry way, the driver of the Challenger apparently didn't notice the upcoming police car, because he revved his engine once more, scooted past me, and squealed his tires, and across the double line, I might add, and for good measure, screeched a cardinal F you to me as his open passenger window was open. The police car, that glorious, glorious police car, flipped on its lights, whipped out onto the street, and pulled the moron over. I haven't laughed that hard in years. My mom waited 5 years to get her revenge on my grandpa. By Theo Tima. This is a funny story my mom always likes to tell. Back in the year 1997, some days after my sister was born, my parents decided to visit my dad's hometown to show my grandparents their first grandchild coming from my dad. They were absolutely in love with the little girl. During the time that they, my parents, were there, Mom and Grandpa were left alone, playing with my baby sister and talking to each other. And it went something like this. Mom, she is so pretty, she looks like me. Grandparent, oh, don't worry about it, they'll grow out of it. This was an obvious joke, but my mother never forgot it. Then, after 5 years, I was born, and again, my parents went to visit my dad's hometown, this time showing baby me and my grandpa absolutely loved me, and said, oh my gosh, look at him, So handsome, he looks like me. To which my mom, never losing an opportunity, replied, "Oh, don't worry, they'll grow out of it." They both laughed at it, and my grandpa knew that it was exactly what he had said 5 years earlier and remarked on how she returned the favor to him. Just a little harmless fun revenge from my mother. I hope everyone had fun reading this. Have a great day. My Neighbor Tells Me No Smoking in the Toilet by Coherent Disco Panda. So I moved places a few months ago. I live on the top floor of a 5-story building, and the subject of my revenge lives on the first floor directly below me. I rent the place, and according to the contract, I cannot smoke in the house, not even on the balcony, which I'm fine with, so I drag my butt down to the street and smoke there. No biggie. It all started on my third day in my new little home. I went down to smoke, and while I enjoy my precious cancer stick, this old lady, the bitchy neighbor, on the first floor balcony emerged. The neighbor, "Excuse me, but I would like you to stop smoking in the toilet." Me, confused, "Why would I do that?" Neighbor, "I don't know, but every night we wake up from cigarette smoke and we would appreciate it if you'd stop." Me, "I never smoke in the house, much less in the toilet. That's why I'm smoking right here." The neighbor, "I hope so. I never want it to happen again." Me, "Sure." And for a few days, I thought nothing of it. She's probably retired, bored, or whatever. I never smoke in the house, and I never will. I tried being as nice as possible, not wanting to have fights with my neighbors on the first day. I even thought she might have smelt it because I was smoking in the door of the building and her window was right above it, so I even crossed the street, so it wouldn't be a problem later. And with it, I thought it was over. But apparently, a week later, she caught me while I was smoking. I won't write the conversation out. Pretty much, she told me to stop smoking in the toilet. I tried to reason with her, saying, "Why would I come down and climb all these monstrous stairs if I just smoke in the house? And even if I smoked in the house, why would I do it in the toilet? Why not out on the balcony?" And I also questioned, how could the smoke go all the way down to the first floor? I'm not 100% sure, but I believe ventilation is made to go upwards toward the top of a building. In the end, we both were pretty upset, and she said that she will come knocking every time she smelled it. I was like, "Yeah, sure." Then a week later, she did come knocking at 2 a.m. when I was sleeping. I was peeved, and I yelled at her, then shut the door. The very next day, she did it again around the same time and continued for weeks, but not every day. So we come to the revenge part. Sorry the exposition took so long. My friend suggested a very good thing. What if I knock on her door every time I go to smoke, just to ensure her that I don't smoke in the toilet? And I did exactly that. For 3 days straight, every single time I had the urge to smoke, which meant something like 5 to 6 cancer sticks. Outside work hours, of course. I smoke much more at work. I can tell you she was peeved. She shouted and threatened me, but all I did was make sure that there was no misunderstanding from either party. But, well, all the fun had to stop. And it stopped when she called the police on me. They were really understanding, but obviously not approved of my actions. But now there's no knocking on my door at any time. A side note, also thank you very much to those who commented, and no, I don't know where the smoke could come from. All I know is there are two people besides me who smoke on the street, where I do it as well. So that's the question of the century. You're representing your company by Union Boy 7. On my way home from work in Chicago, I got cut off because a guy wanted to pass a truck. The type of stuff that happens all the time. But this was worse than usual. Slamming my brakes, getting really annoyed. So I passed him as quick as I could. Since there was heavy traffic, I couldn't get ahead of the guy who cut me off, and he pulled alongside me. I'm not perfect, and I don't think much of flipping someone off, so I did. This got much more than an expected reaction of getting flipped back off. Weirdly, it was 75 degrees in November, so we both had our windows rolled down. The guy starts yelling at me, flipping him off, and yelled back, "You cut me off!" No surprises here. The guy says he didn't, and heated up the brake pads disagree, but whatever. I noticed he was in a company vehicle and said, "You're representing your company." He said he didn't care because his brother owned it. Here's where it starts picking up. He's still pissed that I flipped him off, and he starts challenging me to a fight, lol. I don't care about this guy at all, so I start laughing at him and giving him the hand sign to "you're just running your mouth." He keeps escalating and calling me a wimp and still yelling. He even said I flicked off the wrong guy because he's an outlaw. Okay. We're driving side by side, yelling at each other, by the way. I guess this guy really wanted to get under my skin or scare me or wanted to actually injure me because he revved his engine and swerved into my lane. I moved over in time to the left lane and was able to continue straight unimpeded as he went back to his lane fairly quickly. For the story, I would like to say that this really did scare me or pushed me off or set me over the edge, but just gave me the ammo I needed. I got home safely and got to work. I have a dashboard camera, so I sent the footage of the guy cutting me off. So I got close even with slamming my brakes that I could read everything. His company name, his phone number were at my fingertips. I thought to myself, even if his brother runs the company, which I doubt, he probably wouldn't want a huge liability driving his work truck besmirching his company name. I called, explained the situation, and the receptionist told me no brothers worked there. Surprise, surprise. Then she asked for the footage, which I happily obliged. And here's her response. "Okay, thanks for letting us know. I do believe he was on his way home from work, so he will not be able to drive his work vehicle home going forward, and we're purchasing dash cams for our company vehicles going forward. I'm very sorry this was your experience, and please know we'll be doing everything we can to correct this behavior going forward." Oh yeah, nothing like a few minutes out of my day to ruin a guy's work commute. He'll have to drive to the company, pick up his surface vehicle, work, then drop off his truck before going home, instead of just going to jobs and then going home. LOL. Uncle passes away, locks niece out of his fortune, because she treated him like a purse, by Mr. DJ. This story involves people I know, so all names have been changed to comply with the rules. I have a friend, he's about 65 years old. His name is Mick. Mick has a sister called Mary and an uncle named Richard. Richard was a very successful man in his youth and retired with some sizable savings. We're talking millions. Richard had spent the last 5 to 10 years of his life in a nursing home with various side effects from a life of smoking and exposure to asbestos. During this time, Mick and Mary both would visit Richard, but for various reasons. Mick frequently would take him for a day visit in outside the nursing home, such as to a Rotary Services Club, basically a pub, but for old folks with meat raffles, dinner, and a dress code, or an actual pub. Mick never asked Richard for money unless it was dire. Mary was different, however. Mary had a daughter and would usually only visit Richard to ask for money or collect birthday money for the daughter. Mary never took the time to actually spend time with Richard. Instead, she only treated Richard as a deposit box. Eventually, Richard got sick of this behavior. About 2 months before COVID hit, Richard made a secret change to his will. And by secret, I mean practically everyone but Mary knew about it. Richard adjusted his will so that Mick would get the majority of the shares of his wealth, and that little he was going to give Mary would now be put in a trust fund and paid out to Mary's daughter once she reaches adulthood. Fast forward to about a week ago, and Richard passed away. From what I'm aware of, it was painless and courtesy of the painkillers given to him by the hospital. Mick will receive the lion's share of Richard's fortune. The funeral was today, and Mary certainly was unhappy. If Flux could kill, she'd be a serial killer. From what I was told, Richard had explicitly stated in his will that Mary was receiving nothing specifically because of the way that she treated Richard, and that Richard had somehow blocked Mary from disputing the will. I guess the lesson here is to treat your rich dying relatives like actual human beings if you want a payout. Enjoy your 400 wake-up messages by Bannerman89. I hope this is petty enough for this subreddit. Don't think it's too bad, but here we go. Also on mobile, so potential for poor formatting excuses. I work in the TV and film industry, driving specific department equipment to location and sets. Obviously, the major thing here is that I can't be a minute late. Being a good little minion as I am, I always made sure that I was at a location 15 to 30 minutes before I had to set up. Note, it takes 5 to 15 minutes to unload. However, this was apparently not good enough for the department. No matter the time I was supposed to be there, they told me I was supposed to be there an hour earlier, complaining that they never knew I was there with the equipment. It was only two people complaining, but I shrugged it off as they just wanted to unload first and do nothing for an hour. As it would be unapproved overtime and unpaid, I held out. The line producer, not wanting to deal with them, told me he would blanket approval for the overtime. I did not like leaving my house at 0400, and that's when I decided to be petty. The moment I was about to drive, each one of them received a WhatsApp notification that I would diligently only share for about 15 minutes before doing so until I arrived. My drive would be a minimum of 1 hour, and I knew that they never kept their phones on silent or could even mute me in case something occurred. The head honcho complained to the producer via email about the WhatsApp messages waking him and his immediate underling, to which the producer replied to with my boss in CC that this is what he was complaining about and that I have addressed and actioned his complaints, and if there were any problems to speak to me directly. He did not speak to me directly. I have continued to do so with 3 weeks left on the job to go. You can bet your bottom dollar that I will continue. Well, that ends this episode. It certainly went quickly, and I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week, and remember, watch out for those complainers. And if they don't stop, just give them a taste of their own medicine, and don't forget to get petty. We'll see you next week.